Good morning and welcome. At this time, I invite the congregation to please stand for our silent procession. Bless the Lord who forgiveth all our sins. His mercy endureth forever. God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods but me. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor worship them. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Honor thy father and thy mother. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt do no murder. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not steal. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not covet. Lord, have mercy upon us and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which giveth life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us, and we in him, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, the person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel hymn this morning is hymn 467, found in the blue hymnal. Please stand as you're able to sing hymn 467. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So before I begin my homily this morning, just a small bit of information, a little trivia. Has anyone ever wondered why that snake wrapped around the pole represents the medical profession? You just heard it. in our Old Testament reading, when God told Moses to make an effigy of a poisonous snake and wrapped around a pole so the people, when they looked on it, will be healed from having been bitten. So that's where that symbol comes from. Just thought you'd want to know. Interesting things I pick up on podcasts. But actually, I do want to talk about that Old Testament reading this morning because it plays into our gospel this morning as well. You can't really have the gospel without this reading because it starts with just as Moses lifted the snake up on the pole, right? So shall I be lifted also. But what's going on? Where does this story that we heard this morning come from? It's in the book of Numbers, which is one of those books within the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, the Law, even though it sounds like it should be in the book of Exodus. But the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers kind of are like a deck of cards that you've separated, and if you basically kind of flutter them together, they would make up one story. One gives more detail to the other. So where are we in that story? We are out of Egypt, right? The children of Israel, prior to going in the wilderness, started out in captivity and bondage in Egypt. And we all know the Passover story into the wilderness. And from the story of Exodus, we know that as soon as the children of Israel got into the wilderness, there were problems. Having been in bondage for so long, they didn't really have the skills to forage or hunt for food or even provide for themselves because, as slaves, that's what the master took care of, even if it might be on a subsistence level. So they were ill prepared to go into this barren land and be able to provide for themselves. So what happens soon after they get into the wilderness? They start complaining. And poor Moses, as the leader, winds up being the complaint department. And so, you know, it's a couple days in, and, oh my God, we're so thirsty. We need water. Did God send us out here to die of thirst? And so Moses writes down the complaint, goes up to the higher authority and says, hey, look, they're thirsty. What do I do? Take a staff, strike it against a rock, and water will flow forth. So they get water, they're happy. But the food runs out again. And now it's like, oh, we're so hungry. Did God send us into this wilderness to die of hunger? It was so much better in Egypt. So Moses, being the faithful leader, goes back to God and gives them the complaint. And God responds, I'll take care of it. I will send you food from heaven every day. And so he provides them manna to eat. And what is part of the equation that's going on here is that God is teaching the children of Israel how to be 100% trusting in the faithfulness of God. No matter what their need, God will provide. But Numbers takes this one complaint further along. And I love the way it's worded. We've got nothing to eat. And then it says, and we don't like what he's given us for food. Did anyone catch that? And they start in their frustration, disparaging, and talking down God. This is where the snakes come into the picture. Because what has happened? The people have begun to turn against or turn their back on God's faithfulness. That's the definition of sin. Literally turning our backs on God. And so they open themselves up for the consequence. Now think for a minute. What does God send to the children of Israel? Serpents. Where have we heard about serpents before? So there's only one other place that I can recall. At what?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve at the fall. It is the serpent that beguiles Eve and then Adam into eating from the forbidden fruit. The serpent represents evil, darkness. And so what has happened? There's their hearts become hard and darkened against God. They find themselves in the midst of evil itself. And why is it deathly? Because down the road, God will dictate through Deuteronomy. At the end of giving the law, on this day I give you blessing and curse, life and death. Choose life. Choosing God is life. Choosing to turn against God is choosing death. So what have they done? By turning their backs on God, disparaging God, they have opened themselves up to their own corruption and opened themselves up basically to death itself. But so here's the question that where this story gets a little strange, because as they're dying, Moses goes to God and says, God, what do I do? The snakes are killing them like crazy. Pretty soon there's not going to be enough of us around. And God says, make the effigy, a bronze poisonous snake, and put it on a stick. And when someone gets bitten, have them look at the snake and they will be healed. So why is that? What is that about? In order to be healed, in order to overcome our own sickness, we have to be able to face it. How many of us know that person out there that is always talking about not feeling well? And we say, you need to go to the doctor. And they say, well, you know I need the doctor. I just don't want to go to the doctor. But you need to go to the doctor to find out what it is. But I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want to face whatever it is. But we have to face whatever it is. We have to face it, name it, in order to get control or dominion over it. The children of Israel had to look at their own evil in the face in order to overcome it and let God inside their hearts again. Now, why does Jesus pick up on this same story? What's going on in the Gospel of John, third chapter? First of all, we have to understand, who is Jesus talking to? Does anyone know? It feels like he's talking to the crowd, but he's not. He's actually talking to Nicodemus. Now, remember who Nicodemus is. He was the Pharisee that hears Jesus, becomes intrigued by Jesus, and in the darkness of night goes to see Jesus. He goes from the darkness of his own world into the light of the world of Christ. And there it is to Nicodemus, who after Jesus talks about the need to be born again, that asks, well, can I enter my mother's womb a second time? He's not getting it. But Jesus says, a foreshadowing of the way he's going to die, I must be lifted high in the same way that Moses lifted the snake. Why is that? What is it about Jesus' death that becomes vital for us and in our healing, vital for Nicodemus to move from the world in which he occupies into a new life, a new world with Christ? Because Christ being lifted on the cross, just like the snake, forces us to see the reality of humanity and our individual selves as well. It is no accident that on Palm Sunday, in the midst of the Passion reading, we're going to join with the crowd and scream out, "Crucify him!" Because it's not just one group of people that killed Jesus. It is the sin of humanity, our own darkness as a collective, that put Jesus on the cross. And as the snake is a reflection of the evil of the children of Israel, Christ on the cross is a reflection of our own darkness, our own evil, both individually and corporately. That is the mirror back to us that we have to face, that we have to somehow come to witness and understand in order for the grace of the cross to take effect. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, I have not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And in order for us to be truly and fully saved and redeemed, we have to be able to look into our own darkness, our own sinfulness, our own inability to truly, fully love God in order to fully understand and experience the grace. We have to trust. Just like the children of Israel had to trust in God to provide for them, we have to trust in God that if we really let God light us up completely, God's not going to abandon us. God's going to continue to embrace us, continue to love us. And all that goes back to what I talked about on the day that we read the Transfiguration, the Sunday before Lent began. To remember that we are beloved children of God. And as beloved children of God, we are loved unconditionally. And I was thinking about the fact that last week, Maureen and I watched the movie Evan Hansen, which is a wonderfully interesting story about a young man who is socially awkward and finds himself all of a sudden caught up in a lie that makes him popular and gives him everything he wanted out of life as a high school student. But suddenly the damage of living that lie comes to fruition, and he has to confess what he's been doing for so long. And it's not until he is finally able to tell his mother about all the things that have been bothering me, that have gotten in the way of his ability to be in relationship with her, that finally the doors open for them to have relationship and for him to begin moving forward and having what he would say are good days. Just like Evan Hansen, we have to be willing to expose ourselves completely to God and to trust that as God's beloved children, God will not abandon us, but embrace us. Because through the grace of the cross, God's love for this world, God has redeemed us and made us worthy to be called children of God. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me in affirming our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers, which we offer thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Nicholas, our bishop, and Craig, our rector, that they may, both in their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all of the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially Joseph, our president, and Daniel, our governor, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, for that, rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. In our parish cycle of prayer, we pray for Brian, Christine, Micheline, and Maeve Van Coogan, Ruth Van Mark, and Wheaton Vaughn. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the church beyond the walls. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed Peter, our patron, and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Amen. This time I invite everyone to please be seated, and those who have birthdays or wedding anniversaries during the month of March are invited to come forward for their blessing. Today's Sarah's birthday. Today's Sarah's birthday. What? Oh, yeah. Yes, we can. Today is Sarah's birthday, so as a member of our choir, we have to do it right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you. Huzzah. And I take it we're all birthdays? Yep. So the Lord be with you. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up when they fail. And in their hearts may thy peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's love for us. Peace be with you. Peace and happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Peace, Wheaton. Happy birthday. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You made it. Peace.
Yeah.
Okay. Peace be with you. It's good to have you this morning. Peace. Peace be with you. I know. Peace. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace.
Okay.
Peace.
Good morning, everybody.
Peace, Diane.
Your faithful and loving senior warden, Ron Cowie, here. Okay, here are the announcements. If you hadn't noticed, it's spring forward, and I realized that I wasn't super efficient. I was just insomnia. I woke up at 4:30. I didn't realize that it was 3:30, so I'm like falling. I'm dying over here. Okay, and the Easter flowers and music, this is the, you know, Easter's later this month, and so if you want to have some flowers dedicated to the memory or a celebration of something, you just click on the, it says click here to submit your Easter message. And I suppose if you call the office or fit, well, would that be a bad deal?
No, and there are forms in their booklets this morning.
Forms in the booklets. Thank you, Nancy. You were the best. March 15th, that's this Friday, the blood drive at the Narragansett Community Center is in honor of Leo Carroll. And who's the other dude? Rob Moniz, that's right there. I just couldn't see it because I'm tired. and next week, Thursday the 28th, is the community dinner. And just a little thought, a little aside. We're having baked fish because that's kind of like Lenten, but it's going to be good. But if you have some kind of a dietary restriction or whatever, like, come. Just let us know. We'll figure something out. I used to work short order. It's cool. You know, we'd rather have you here, and we can make something for you. It's fine. You know, all are welcome, and there's no, like, catch. It's not like, okay, you've had a nice dinner, now we'll open your Bibles. It's just really just come and hang out. That's really important to me that people kind of know that, because I know for me, I get spring-loaded around that stuff. The last one next week, Musica Dolce. Is that the correct pronunciation? Okay. Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m., and it's always a popular event. And it featured music by Brahms and Beethoven. Anything else? Tony, are you running that, or is... Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Yes. So, good times. And welcome to anyone who's just visiting. Hope you come. Hi, Walter. Didn't notice that you were late.
Yeah, you're cranky. Just a couple more things. Thank you to Michelle and Chris for ushering this morning, to Patty for reading and being our lay Eucharistic minister. I keep coming up with a visitor. Also to the Dawson Brady's and to the Swan family, there's a wonderful coffee hour available immediately following the service. Please come and enjoy some coffee, fellowship, and a lot of good sweets to eat, so please join us. As one of my previous parishioners said, it's all sugar, so it can't be more wonderful. What? That's the point, in a good way. A reminder, in 2 weeks' time, it's Palm Sunday, and then it is Holy Week. We do need help across the board. If you've noticed the sign-up sheet, especially on when it comes out with the eNet on Friday, there's a lot of empty spaces, a lot of empty spaces for this month and moving into Easter week. Please, please, please consider signing up. It's not hard. Lay reading is simply reading. We'll teach you how to do it, how to use the microphone. Anyone can tip a chalice. It's not that hard. Very simple words. Anyone who likes people can usher. And anyone who bakes and can push a button can do coffee hour. Many hands make light work, and as members of the community, I do encourage everyone to consider signing up for something once a month to help out. If everyone did that, you wouldn't even be able to get in once a month, maybe once every other month. So I do ask everyone to please consider helping out on Sunday morning. On that note, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is right and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and a bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who dost bid thy faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy, and renewed by thy word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace, which thou hast prepared for those who love thee. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, All glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this, as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same, And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us. And of thy almighty goodness, vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us join together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Bow down before the Lord. Look down in mercy, Lord, on your people who kneel before you, and grant that those whom you have nourished by your word and sacraments may bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join in singing hymn 690 found in the blue hymnal. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.